Welcome. I'm Avery.
And I'm Grace Ann. And this is Drift, a podcast exploring stories and science of Barnegat Bay's past, present, and future. Welcome, everyone, to the third episode of Drift the Podcast. Avery and I are extremely excited to have you here with us again to celebrate two very important moments in our year. So we have Indigenous Peoples Day, which passed in October, which we're going to talk more about in a moment. And we also have Native American Heritage Month in November, which we want to also highlight here with this episode. So we have a lot to share with you, from facts to local knowledge, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. And we just want to put out the disclaimer that while we care in deeply about these conversations and this topic, and we are having more of these conversations from leadership level and from the staff level here at Save Barnegat Bay, that none of us here are actually of Indigenous descent of any kind from anywhere here in the U.S. And so we just want to say that we want to be as respectful as we can be, and that we're learning how to have these conversations internally, and that it may not be perfect, and we're going to do our best to be kind and open-minded and bring as much respect to this topic as we can, and then continue to grow from it, both internally as an organization and with our membership around us, which we're so grateful to have you all here listening to this really, really important conversation.
Yeah, we hope this just opens your mind to perhaps something you hadn't known about or considered before. And we hope that this paints a fuller picture of the cultural heritage of where we work, where we live, and where we love around the Bay. So, to give a little bit of background, we have been trying to stagger these episodes so that they're timely with stuff that comes up in the calendar year. And it's all about this idea of building place and a sense of community here. So, as Grace Ann mentioned, this is Native American Heritage Month, the month of November. And a little bit of background on this, it was a holiday or an observation that was first declared way back in 1916 by the governor of New York. And then fast forward a handful of decades after that, President at the time, H.W. Bush, approved a joint resolution that designated the month of November in 1990 as National American Indian Heritage Month. And as Grace Ann also mentioned, back in October, we observed the first formal Indigenous Peoples Day. President Joe Biden was the first president to federally recognize the holiday, and he signed a proclamation in October of this year. Of course, Indigenous Peoples Day is the same day as Columbus Day, and this observation kind of began as an alternative celebration to that. Of course, Christopher Columbus Day honors the Italian explorer, and many reject this telling of history because it leaves a lot of the difficult, often violent history that came with colonization of the New World. The theme of this episode is that we're not taking away or trying to cover up parts of history, but that we're really just trying to paint a fuller picture of what actually went on. And I think this is an important step in moving towards a more inclusive, holistic understanding of the American experience and what it means to be a person here and be connected to the land here.
I think at Save Barnegat Bay, we've worked really hard in a lot of ways that we weren't labeling as inclusive as a part of our work, but that it inherently was inclusive. And we have conversations about the culture around the Bay in the very now tense, you know, the very present tense, where we're talking about, you know, our fishermen and baymen and women and families that have grown up around Barnegat Bay. But less often are we inclined to talk about the Indigenous people that were here before. So this is a really great opportunity for us to kind of turn the clocks back a little further. We have resources that you can go to as a resident, or even just as a person in New Jersey, but as a resident here in Ocean County. The Ocean County Historical Society has a really great resource for you to be able to go in and see this historical museum space with artifacts and signs that have names and locations of peoples that lived here, primarily the Lenni Lenape people. And so we want to encourage you to go there and check out their exhibit and ask questions of the volunteers and employees there, because they might be able to help you on your journey to learning more, just like Avery and I have been working really hard to do, which we both did go over there and read the exhibit and try to start understanding the very beginnings of this conversation.
We hope that, you know, this conversation kind of empowers our listeners out there to maybe take this on as a personal journey too. You know, if you aren't someone who grew up with this heritage and cultural background, then you aren't aware of all the things that happened here and all of the ideas that shaped what makes this land what it is today. And so it's really, I think there's a responsibility for all of us to educate ourselves and constantly be curious and open-minded about histories and realities that are sometimes a bit uncomfortable, that challenge our cultural preconceptions, because that's how we move towards a better community here, I think, and recognizing the important role that these people played.
Yeah, for sure. So we could just talk about for a second some of the things that Save Barnegat Bay, and it's not about us, but I think it's important to highlight some of the things the organization has been doing, which speaks to inclusivity and diversity and allowing for more people to be at the table. As we've said in previous episodes, you know, multiple times, we take a lot of pride in the fact that our organization is made up of so many different people with different backgrounds. And so we're excited about that. And we want to just highlight a few things that we've already been doing for the past 50 years and things we hope to do in the future to help create a more inclusive space. So one of the simplest things, which we may have mentioned before, is that we don't have a membership here at Save Barnegat Bay. So, you know, when it comes to cost prohibitive, you know, inclusivity, we try to make that not a thing. We also don't really charge a lot of money, if anything, for most of our educational programs and public programs. We don't want money to be a barrier for people. And we understand from global conversations that money and financial barriers really do keep people of color, people of indigenous backgrounds, people of obviously lower income status from participating in programs. And that's obviously something we don't want to do. And then, of course, we can talk about our public access trends across our history. So whenever we've preserved land, we've tried really hard not to preserve it for one group of people, where we try to make sure that, you know, based on the land itself and what the land is, you know, most effectively used for, we try to make sure that it's deemed open space, recreation, accessible to all those who do that activity. So if it's open for hunting, we want to make sure that it's open for all hunters. If it's open for the common public person to walk, we want to make sure that it's open for those people and that we're not, you know, closing it off and creating gates and entrance fees and, you know, rules, you know, tons and tons of rules that are going to cause some folks to not be able to use that space.
And we've been having these conversations a lot about how we want to orient our mission, how we want to educate ourselves as practitioners within the environmental field. You know, the idea of access and inclusivity should be at the center of every conversation we have, because if that's not the case, if we are even unintentionally excluding a group of people, then that's ultimately a shortcoming of the work that we're doing here. And I think that's a sentiment that has been born out of recent years and social movements that have been happening, not just in the US, but across the globe, that we really need to be constantly thinking about these things. And that is something that applies to any field that you work in. We just happen to be in the environmental one. And so we're constantly trying to better ourselves and think about how we can center expanding our reach in that way. And it is worth mentioning too that environmental spheres have been historically dominated by white folks. And so moving forward, include more people in that conversation and ultimately reach more solutions in the work that we're doing. We need to make it accessible to people who don't fit that description.
And not even just white, but also people who are of a higher income.
Socioeconomic means. It is important that we hold the mirror to ourselves in the pursuit of becoming a better organization. Ultimately, that's what it always comes down to. And a lot of that is rounding out our vision and understanding of what justice means and what inclusivity means. And at the very least, it can begin with a fuller retelling of what history is, and including everyone's history in that, and not just the one that we hear most commonly in the history books and everything like that. So that's why we're really excited for this episode and kind of reflecting on things with that lens, because another part of the conversation that we've been having here too is all the different perspectives that give us a better grounding on activism work, in advocacy work, in education work. You know, this idea of there are so many different ways of knowing. The knowledge of the fisherman who is on the water every single day. He knows all of the fish, all of the species of vegetation that are out there. That's incredibly important as the scientist perspective that gives us this very empirical understanding of the data and the numbers behind this area and these ecosystems. And then also I'll bring in non-Western perspective of value the land has and the inherent value of the critters that live here outside what they provide to us. And, you know, with problems as honestly pretty daunting as what is afflicting the Bay or climate change on an even bigger scale, we're not going to reach a meaningful solution by just arriving at an answer with one perspective. We need to integrate all of these different knowledge systems if we really want to make real change. And I think, thankfully, that the world is moving in that direction. And it begins on the grassroots community level, on the interpersonal level, and conversations that you're having with your friends, with your family, with yourself.
For sure. And, you know, for us here at Save Renegade Bay, we're having these conversations internally. Obviously, you're hearing it here on, you know, an outreach level. But the staff here have been working hard at doing what we call professional development so that, you know, that looks like us going into other spaces to either be taught or have conversations with our colleagues and peers in the fields. And so I've particularly been doing a lot of work with the NAAEE, which is basically the National Environmental Education Group. And so we did a few workshops about Indigenous people and how we can better serve that topic using our education programs and our outreach efforts. And I'll just share this one theme that I think is really important. And that it's really very simple. Oftentimes, you know, we feel as though we have to go to books and internet, YouTube videos and other people to learn about a topic that we don't understand. And that's something that we are kind of ingrained in our society that if we want to learn that we have to do it those ways. Whereas if you're thinking of it from an Indigenous lens in the context of learning about nature and the natural processes around us, really the most important thing you have to do is to go look outside and be a part of the environment around you and make observations and listen and feel. I think that's something that as a trained scientist is not something we are taught to do as out loud and as often. We're often taught to take measurements using tools. We're taught to take notes using information that we understand and know already. And there's this element of feeling that we are totally missing, where Indigenous people's teachings tell us to feel and reflect and think and be a little bit more emotional with the nature spaces around us. And that's extremely important if we're going to, it's the beginning and the foundation to us understanding how we can improve the spaces that are really going to yield the clean water and the clean air that we need to survive here, which is just such a basic need. It really isn't high order science. It's extremely basic needs. And I just wanted to highlight that there's so much more depth to that whole topic. But those are some of the things I was able to draw from in my learning about how to teach about Indigenous people. And you can be sure that in the future coming programs that I organize here at Save Barnegat Bay, that we organize as a team, will include more of those topics to try and improve our programs to be not only more inclusive, but also more educational and more impactful.
And speaking kind of to a few points there, I will shout out a book we did for the month of September for our book club, the Barnegat Bay Book Club. We read Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, which is one of my favorite books and has been a real guiding light in a lot of my awareness within this field. The author is an Indigenous woman who holds a PhD in ecology, but is also guided by her cultural values as a Native American as well. So she brings a really interesting perspective. We need to see ourselves reflected in nature. And speaking specifically for Barnegat Bay, you know, this is something that I'm sure if you talk to a lot of people around here, they'll kind of mention in so many words anyway. You know, there's this deeply profound connection to the natural resources of this region. There is a love that you just can't quite put tangible words around, but it's this very almost spiritual feeling of connection. And I think moving forward and valuing these different perspectives, and specifically these non-Western perspectives of connecting with nature, it's calling it out for what it is. You know, it's seeing ourselves as part of the environment. And instead of placing humans and the natural world in two separate camps, it's integrating the two. And once I kind of oriented my thinking around that a bit more, it was a really powerful shift for me. And I think bestowed upon me more of a feeling of stewardship and empowerment for caring for this land and, when necessary, speaking up for it and defending it when it's needed.
And I just want to bring the focus back to the local people that were here, because, of course, we are celebrating them, not just the idea of including them, but also celebrating their culture. And I just want to point out something that I find really fun and interesting, that we actually say and use Indigenous words every single day here in New Jersey that we don't even realize. And I would just like to ramble off a few of them. It's important to actually pay homage to these things, because they exist around us and we just don't even realize. So some towns here in Ocean County, including Manaloking, Manahawkin, Matitaconk, are all Matitaconk River, of course, not a town, are all Indigenous origin words. Of course, Navasink, which is a river in Monmouth County, Ramapo, which is a municipality in New Jersey, Ebsekin, Manasquan, Mattawan, Passaic, Hackensack, Lenoka, which, of course, you know, if you're from Forked River, Lenoka Harbor, Raritan, and there's so many more. And those are just on the like state level. And then if you look even more locally, there's names of rivers, names of streets, names of places and neighborhoods and things that are of Indigenous heritage, specifically the Lenni Lenape, who were the people that, you know, migrated here every summer, particularly and in the warmer months, to harvest food from Barnegat Bay and the marshes here and hunt and fish and do all those things. And then they would move west into further away parts of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and farther away to exist for the rest of the year. But they were here, and they were a part of this land, and they had names for it, and they understood it. And, you know, we're fortunate enough now to understand what we understand now, but just to recognize that they were here first.
Yeah. And I would encourage our listeners out there to do research on the different groups that existed wherever in the country you are. Something that I found to be really fascinating is there are a ton of tools online, like mapping tools, where you can see the overlay of all the different tribes and the languages spoken there across the country that paint a really beautiful picture of the complexity and diversity of life that was here before the settlers came. And, you know, just on a very fundamental level, it's so critical that we understand that these people were here first. We have a duty and a responsibility to pay homage, as Graysand said, to these people and their traditions, because in the end, we're all sharing this land now. We're all here. We're all a part of it. And we have to be respectful and sensitive. We have the Lenni Lenape here, and specifically the Nanticoke Lenni Lenape tribe was the main group in this part of New Jersey, kind of in southern Jersey. And I wanted to bring up, if any of our listeners are familiar with a land acknowledgement, it's a means of honoring and recognizing the people who occupied this territory before settlers came, who were of primarily European descent. So Grace Ann and I are going to read off the Nanticoke Lenni Lenape tribe's land acknowledgement. And we hope that our listeners out there kind of sit with this and maybe incorporate something similar into your own practice. If you ever hold an event here in Ocean County, perhaps consider really recognizing the weight that this holds.
The land upon which we gather is part of the traditional territory of the Lenni Lenape called Lenape Hoking. The Lenape people lived in harmony with one another upon this territory for thousands of years. During the colonial era and early federal period, many were removed west and north, but some also remain among the continuing historical tribal communities of the region. The Nanticoke Lenni Lenape Tribal Nation, the Ramapo Lenape Nation, and the Powhatan Lenape Nation, the Nanticoke of Millsboro, Delaware, and the Lenape of Cheswold, Delaware. We acknowledge the Lenni Lenape as the original people of this land and their continuing relationship with their territory. In our acknowledgement of the continued presence of Lenape people in their homeland, we affirm the aspiration of the great Lenape chief Tamanend that there be harmony between the indigenous people of this land and the descendants of the immigrants to this land, as long as the rivers and creeks flow and the sun, moon, and stars shine. So we can include some of these resources in the podcast resources and notes. So both where we got this land acknowledgement from, which is from a Lenni Lenape tribe that resides here in South Jersey. And then, of course, the map that Avery was referring to where we can see the overlays of indigenous people across North America and the languages spoken there. And we can also link to the Ocean County Historical Society if you want to ask more local questions, because this topic we could probably have
a whole series
an episode a month and we still wouldn't cover. I mean, we didn't even talk at all about Lenni Lenape people specifically and their cultures, societies, their tools, their ways of living. We really just grazed the surface. So this is a topic that we, you know, will revisit and try to bring light to and knowledge to. And we appreciate you listening to us go on our journey. And hopefully you're excited to engage in this conversation both with us and with each other and among your professional colleagues and peers as well, depending on the industry that you're working in. And that at least at the very least, if maybe you're just trying to move towards inclusivity and diversity and making whatever services you bring to our community more available to more people.
Yeah, just as a general practice, incorporating that dimension into your thinking, into your planning within the workplace, into your interactions with your community. It's a really important shift that I think we all need to work towards. And yeah, just don't be scared of educating yourself. I mean, I'm sitting next to the educator, so she'll be glad that I'm saying this, but that's really... It's the first step in deeply integrating this change and affecting change in this way is just to be open to learning and realizing that you don't know everything. As a white person, I recognize that I will never understand the deeply complex cultural heritage and understanding of non-Western values, but I have a responsibility to try to celebrate these and to recognize them as being important.
Yeah,
and having a seat at the table.
It's a really important topic. We want to do so much good for it and respect to it. And so please, we encourage your feedback in any way that you might feel inclined to do so. Please reach out to us.
We're trying to learn and incorporate them in the work we do in a meaningful way. And this is something that we need to commit to over the very long term. So it's going to be an evolving journey.
I've been trying to reach out to folks that I think or know might have more information on not just Indigenous people, but specifically our local Lenni Lenape people that were here. And I'm still working on that. If anyone has any connections to people who might be of Lenni Lenape descent or might have good information about our local Lenni Lenape people, we encourage you and invite you to reach out to us, and we would gladly accept any information you might have on that journey to find more local knowledge. Of course, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Avery and I have been working hard on it, mostly Avery, and we are excited to be continuing the podcast. So please click follow so that we can see that you're listening and reach out to us with any ideas for upcoming episodes. We have heard from some folks and it is actually affecting our choices for our next episode. So we do listen to our listeners and we're responding with the things that they're excited about. So of course, follow our socials and our upcoming programs and stay in touch with us. And we hope to see you next time at our next episode. So thank you so much for listening.
Bye, everyone.